Peter Drucker was one of the greatest business minds of the 20th and 21st centuries. He was a genius, but he also possessed something that every leader needs. Welcome to On My Walk, the reading podcast that helps you capture reading's aha moments and apply them to your life and leadership. Peter Drucker is a business icon, considered the father of modern management. He has also been called the world's foremost pioneer of management theory. He wrote 39 major books. He's respected the world over. And in 2002, he was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Drucker died in 2005 at the age of 95. And writing his obituary for the Seattle Times, business writer Alex Vega noted, "Drucker was born in Vienna and educated there and in England. He received a doctorate in international law while working as a newspaper reporter in Frankfurt, Germany. He remained in Germany until 1933, when one of his essays was banned by the Nazi regime. For a time, he worked as an economist for a bank in London, then moved to the United States in 1937. He taught politics and philosophy at Bennington College in Vermont, and for more than 20 years was a professor of management at New York University's Graduate Business School." Now, I could go on, but for those who don't know Dr. Drucker, I want you to have a sense of the stature of the man, because it's going to make what he has to say, I think anyway, a lot more significant. Now, as I noted in my previous podcast, two questions every executive must ask, I'm reading Peter Drucker's Management Challenges for the 21st Century, and I have to tell you, I have interacted with this book far more than most of the books I read. I have more highlights, underlines, and back page notations than usual. I have journaled page after page after page in my own journal as I try to apply what I'm learning from Drucker and put it into practice in my own life. But I want to share today this piece with you because I think it's a clue to Drucker's genius and an essential for everyone who wants to get better in life and leadership. In Chapter 4, which Drucker entitles Information Challenges, he's writing about the new information revolution, where he thought it was going, where he thought it was going to lead, and where it actually did. Listen to this.
From the T to the I in IT. A half century ago, around 1950, prevailing opinion overwhelmingly held that the market for that new miracle, the computer, would be in the military and in scientific calculations, for example, astronomy. A few of us, however, a very few indeed, argued even then that the computer would find major applications in business and would have an impact on it. These few also foresaw, again, very much at odds with the prevailing opinion, even if practically everyone at IBM just then beginning its ascent, that in business the computer would be more than a very fast adding machine doing clerical chores such as payroll or telephone bills. On specifics, we dissenters disagreed, of course, as experts always do. But all of us nonconformists agreed on one thing. The computer would, in short order, revolutionize the work of top management. It would, we all agreed, have its greatest and earliest impacts on business policy, business strategy, and business decisions. We could not have been more wrong. The revolutionary impacts so far have been where none of us then anticipated them, on operations.
Did you catch that? Drucker said, "We could not have been more wrong." Now, one doesn't have to look far to see what a contrast his response to missing it is compared to what we see today. I mean, politicians who refuse to budge an inch, or watered down mea culpas from sports stars who say, "If I've offended anyone, I'm sorry." Not Drucker. I mean, humble acknowledgement that he missed it. And this wasn't the only place Drucker is quick to acknowledge his limitations or his failures when I read his book. When discussing how to manage people, Drucker referenced this line, "There's one right way to manage people, or at least there should be." Now, this is a philosophy to which he and Douglas McGregor, another leadership giant, subscribed until Abraham Maslow showed them wrong. And Drucker writes, "Both McGregor and I were dead wrong. And when highlighting the importance of the second half of life, Drucker writes this: when it first became clear 30 years ago that working life expectations were lengthening very fast, many observers, including myself, believed that retired people would increasingly become volunteers for American nonprofit institutions. This has not happened, i.e., I was wrong. And Drucker says, if one does not begin to volunteer before one is 40 or so, one will not volunteer when past 60. Now, God says he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And one of the things I appreciate so much about Peter Drucker is he was brilliant, but he was also humble. On the homepage of the Drucker Institute, you will find these words. Shortly before he died in 2005, Peter Drucker was celebrated by Business Week magazine as, quote, the man who invented management, close quote. Naturally, when most people hear that description, they think of corporate management. And Drucker did, in fact, advise a host of giant companies along with nonprofits and government agencies. But he came to his life's work not because he was interested in business per se. What drove him was trying to create what he termed a functioning society. And friends, you can't have a functioning society, a functioning marriage, a functioning business apart from a functioning humility. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And my aha moment? Stay humble. Like Drucker, admit weakness. Acknowledge mistakes. Be willing to be instructed, corrected, coached. It makes for a functioning society. It makes for a more enjoyable life. And that's my thought with Peter Drucker and management challenges for the 21st century. Of course, my question for you is, what will you do with that thought on your walk through life today?